B-Pod Studios.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Well, dude, I heard some of your first podcast.
Thank you.
And I don't know where to hear it.
Yeah.
Slammin' Slew Banger of the Week.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. And in studio with us right now, a gentleman who runs the Just Sitting There Joe Murray podcast, Mr. Joe Murray. Thanks for coming in, my man. I saw you get very excited about a certain wrestler lady last night.
Oh, yes.
I saw that, too.
So I've actually been following this woman for a while now.
Physically.
I'm sure you have.
Out outside her home.
Been following her everywhere.
And listen, I'm not a creep, like, you know.
Yeah. Sarge, you can say it.
I'm not a creep when it comes to the women. It's just that some women stand out. Like, back in the day, Sonny stood out. You know, Sable stood out. You couldn't get away. Sure. Trish Stratus. You couldn't get away from these women.
All I know is when the lady was here in studio, there was one of us who was exceptionally creepy out in the hallway. Who was that?
Wasn't me.
I'm well aware.
No, that was you know, Captain Sarge.
It was Captain Sarge.
I mean, Sarge was like the face sucker from the Alien movies.
He was sarging all over the place.
Now, Lacey Evans is a true lady.
Of course.
Right. You know, she's professional, military woman, you know, sassy as hell.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sassy.
That picture of you holding her.
That far away look.
Is like,
I think I maybe felt that twice in my life.
I mean, that's the face that somebody would make if they were, like, tickled by 100 feathers at once. Like, it was just, I mean, you just, if you were a cartoon, you would have been floating.
Yes.
Like, towards, like, a set, like, when the thing floats
towards
a pie.
In the window, yeah.
Yeah, right. That was your face. So, but this was not Lacey Evans last night you were tweeting about. You were very excited about, what is this woman's name?
No, so this is a new WWE woman. She's been around. She's been an Impact and some other wrestling organizations, but her name is Scarlett Bordeaux.
Okay.
And just do the Google right now, everybody.
All right, I'm doing it.
Get it going. Yep, but, I mean, you know, I wanted to use the word slew banger, but I couldn't.
Yeah, that's right, because the dude owns that, we learned. Like, he will not let Bird use the term slew banger anymore on the Bird Anywho podcasts.
Yeah.
So now it's just so what, like, what is she? She's not a lady,
I mean,
right?
She's not a lady, so I mean, I just think she's a pure minx. You know, that's all I have.
Oh my God.
She is just a minx. And you gotta see her, man.
I get it. What, okay. I get it now. Yep. Okay.
What is hang on. What is the difference between a lady and a minx?
Well, the lady is like, yeah, like I said, she's the sassy Southern belle.
It's someone you respect more, Joe. Say it. That's exactly what you're talking about, right?
Yes, but the Scarlett Bordeaux is just this flirtatious young woman who just...
Rich, have you Googled her yet?
No, Scarlett Bordeaux.
You need to do that when holding this conversation with this man.
All right,
you need to go. In the meantime, both of them are blondes, Joe, and I understand that. But Scarlett Bordeaux, a little smaller, a little.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was my type.
A little bit more curvaceous, a little thinner, a little model-esque, more model-esque than the lady.
But
that correct?
WWE, like, you'll look at pictures and you'll see older pictures of her.
Yep.
But last night, like, she was just that. She was the star of the show.
No. The saxophone is warranted here. I'm very impressed.
Hey, God, she doesn't wrestle. Okay, now I'm looking at her. She picks people up and throws them.
She's a wrestler. Right now in WWE.
Great technical wrestler.
She's a chauffeur at the moment.
Okay, so that means she doesn't actually wrestle,
no,
right?
There's no way
she can do that.
She does wrestle, yes.
She's tiny.
She wrestles.
Okay, like Lacey Evans, she's like a big woman.
Yes.
And I mean that, like, she's muscular. Like, she came in and she was, I mean, she
was
someone jacked.
She is. Yeah. She's huge. Yes.
She is a, now, she's not like, you know, gross jacked. Like, the people who have, like, the paper, you know, the,
right.
like, paper bag skin.
Right,
you know,
right.
She was just somebody who looked very strong. And I know why Joe is like, lady. I get that. But, like, this woman, Scarlett Bordeaux, she just looks like a model. Like, there's no way she's picking people up and throwing them around.
She's got a Stacey Keibler feel to her. She does. I agree.
So, I'm looking at a, well.
You okay?
This just came out. I Scarlett Bordeaux hypes up the In Your House NXT takeover with an Oceanside bikini photo. I didn't see that photo before.
Of course not.
Joe, yes. when is live wrestling coming back, like with crowds? Do we know? I know that you're on top of all this, and I know that there's different rules for every city. But what are we hearing? Because next time they're in town, I am going to make sure that I lobby to get Scarlett Bordeaux in here, because I need to judge your reaction between Lacey, because I've never seen anyone act like that with like when there was a woman around. I mean, there's been people that take your breath away, like, whoa. But I mean, you around Lacey Evans was a sight to behold.
No.
I remember when I told you live on the air that she was going to be there, there was this moment where you just kind of went, it's like just a breath, like you couldn't even speak. Now, would you think there'd be a more visceral reaction when Scarlett Bordeaux came in?
So here's the issue with Scarlett Bordeaux. So right now she's the chauffeur for his name used to be Killer Cross, now it's Karrion Cross. So he's gonna be like the next heavyweight, like the big push.
Okay, I'm sorry. Kayfabe, all these terms like chauffeur, I don't know what this means.
She's the manager. She's like the Miss Elizabeth to this guy.
She's Virgil to the Million Dollar Man.
Exactly.
Okay.
And they have this like wicked cool intro. And it's really good. But yeah, in real life, she really, she is either married or dates this guy, Killer Cross. And so they paired them together, but they were together in the past. And now they're over in WWE. They just signed with them. But so as far as real like fans in the stands, I was listening to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast last night. Highly rated podcast. SummerSlam's still not off yet. They haven't called it off. We don't think it's going to happen.
Now here?
It's still not called off yet in Boston.
What's the date? You're talking about SummerSlam's here, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be in Boston. It's probably not going to happen because they said no live events.
What date?
SummerSlam 2020, the date was August 23rd.
You got a shot at reduced capacity, but you got a shot at it.
So, but here's the other thing, too, is, you know, that was a Marty Walsh call. Like, could Baker move this somewhere else? Could they move it to Gillette Stadium? I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen here. The alternative is Orlando, is Florida. So, you know, there could be some fans in the stands for that. But I just don't think it's going to be in Boston, but it hasn't been truly canceled yet.
Okay, because I was thinking about you this weekend, not just because I saw your tweet last night and just made me laugh. Because I had no idea who it was, but that's Twitter fascination. So in person, like, there's nothing I would like better for you two to meet. Would you get the same kind of reaction? Would it be a, would you be as enamored with Scarlett Bordeaux?
I'd be afraid of her boyfriend-husband guy, because he's scary.
Who's more attractive, the lady or this one?
Scarlett Bordeaux.
Okay.
But the lady
in your eyes.
The lady's a more, you know.
She's more of your type of woman.
Well, she's a real type of woman. Yeah.
Okay, like, so that's what we're talking
Scarlett
about.
Scarlett Bordeaux is this, you know, model, basically.
Do they not use the term diva anymore?
No,
wasn't that the thing?
No, out. No more diva.
Okay.
They used to be the Divas Champion. Now they're women superstars.
Oh, okay. I see. All right. A little more respectful then. Yeah. The WWE. So what is the, if you had to pick your number one, like the number one out of, like, who would be the one that you would probably have that you would just turn into blubber in front of the most?
I would need some time for that. But I'll tell you, I met Trish Stratus at WrestleMania a few years ago. She's like in her, 40s or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's still like amazing, like looking. She is like beautiful. But Sable, back in the day, like I was a kid, like that got me giggity giggity. You know what I mean? Like that was like, oh my God, Sable. Who's this? Thumbs up in the back from anybody? Man, she was like amazing. I think she married Brock Lesnar too.
Oh, Sable?
Ooh, believe so.
Okay, did she age well? Because that's a tough industry to like age gracefully, I would think, if you're a woman.
I would assume so, but Trish Stratus is doing a fantastic job.
Wow, Sable is 52.
What happened to, I just remember, it's so funny I remember this. There was a period of time where, you know, as I said, my wife, she interviewed at the WCW power plant because they were looking for somebody, you know, we lived right next to the power plant. And she was going to be somebody who did the licensing for the music. That's what she went and interviewed for. But at that time, because all the wrestlers were around, you would see them. There was a gym right next to where I lived that most of them would work out. Main Event Fitness is what it was called. You would always see even like Diamond Dallas Page. And this was WCW and like when they were in their heyday. But at the same time, remember like WWF at the time was trying to be over the top. It was the Attitude Era, isn't that what it was called?
Yep.
When they were like
like
they had get like women on there. There was a woman whose name I'll never forget. Her name was Major Guns.
I think that was WCW. But yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. I forget which one it was, but Major Guns showed up, and Major Guns, her whole thing was that I'm a military woman who with Major Guns. Like, I mean, she was a very busty military woman, and they had no qualms about it. Now, someone like Major Guns would she make you lose your breath if you met her in person?
No, like the ones who I'd probably like Stacy Keebler, if you know who she is. She's, you know, kind of a beautiful one. Maurice is the Miz's wife.
Cookies. Yep.
She's what I mentioned Trish Stratus because when I saw her, I was like, oh my God, still in her mid 40s. And it was just, she was outstanding. Tori Wilson's another one. The Bella girls. If you know the Bella twins.
No, I don't.
Nikki Bella. She was with Michelle McCool is the Undertaker's wife. Mm-hmm. I'm just like going over. You guys met Maria Kanellis.
She's great.
Yeah,
and I like her husband too, who's Mike Bennett. Good dude. Yeah, yeah, he's a good guy.
But yeah, there's a laundry list of these women. Like, so it's like hard to pick. The one right now is Mandy Rose. She's currently in WWE, and she's a big storyline with a big guy named Otis. Yeah, she's God's greatest creation.
All of this, by the way, is off the top of his head. He's not looking at a screen. He's kind of, you know, he's kind of sitting back with his hands behind his head, looking up at the ceiling.
Just... I got to see Mandy Rose, WWE. Now you said this is.
Did
the
you look
God's
up Major Guns
now,
yet?
Now I will tell a story while you look that up.
Real quick, Mandy Rose. Now she looks like someone who wrestles. So she's exactly what I would think of somebody who would make you lose your mind, because she is definitely, you know, got the like long blonde hair, kind of like, you know, classically good looking, but she's chiseled, like just chiseled, and I almost kind of like what's her name was who came in before Lacey Evans, but even more like chiseled than the other one.
So there's a woman named Lana. If you ever get a chance. I was at the Kowloon one night, okay? Wallach, you were there. It was the number when they had the number one pick, the Celtics won the lottery or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm there, and I'm sitting in like the waiting area about to leave, and Lana's walking towards me.
Yeah.
And her husband's Rusev is a wrestler as well. And I just I sit down there like I was an employee of the Kowloon. I'm like, hey, how you doing? Like, I'm looking for Andy. I'm like, oh, you know, let me get him real quick. And then all of a sudden Rusev comes over, and I'm like, hey, how's it going, man? But she was stunning.
Okay. By the way, this Mandy Rose woman that you're obsessed with, like I'm looking at her husband, who's a wrestler. Is her husband or boyfriend?
That's Otis. Yeah, that's a kayfabe storyline boyfriend.
Okay, dude, Otis is just like a schlub. Otis is like a big gump. Like, he's kind of like a dude who doesn't keep himself in shape.
Yeah.
Like, his whole thing is that he wears, like, a jean jacket vest and his gut sticks out.
Yeah, he wears a shirt that doesn't fit over his gut. So he just won the Money in the Bank. He's getting the big push. So essentially,
why?
He can cash it.
Why is every,
he's over.
Push?
He's Otis, so over right now.
You know what Otis is? Otis looks like a bad Kevin James movie come to life. Where it's like, whoa, I gotta wrestle. Yeah.
And now
like,
he's got. Now he's got the girl.
Why is Vince pushing this guy?
I don't know, but now he's got the girl. It's him and Mandy, and it's, you know.
Because you know what? You look at Otis and you root for Otis. To be quite honest.
Exactly.
Like, Otis is just like some dude got transferred from the couch watching wrestling, and somehow like magically this. You know what this is. This is a dude that found a genie lamp. He's my three wishes. I want to be the best wrestler in the world, and I want Mandy Rose to be my girlfriend. And that's exactly what ended up happening. And so he's just some guy who's completely out of shape, wears like a cheesy jean jacket vest, and this, you know, really good-looking wrestler woman, Mandy Rose, is like all over him. What the hell is going on? And if that isn't kayfabe, which I have learned is like, you know, the storyline, like if outside of kayfabe this is all real, then God bless Mr. Otis, because he is the everyman that you got to root for.
Yeah. And the thing was, there was a makeout session a week ago,
And now like, we're talking.
Like, and I was like, this thing's real. Like, and these two will like, really wish, like make it out, you know?
And for my third wish, I want to make out with him so all my friends can see I'm making out with a girl. I mean, this guy, he had magical powers, and he somehow transferred himself into the biggest wrestler in the world with the hottest wrestler woman, and he got to make out with her on TV. All of it is a guy who just is, he's living the dream. So go Otis. But here's what I'll tell you, and then we're going to break. Anytime we have every time we have a wrestler in studio, I always invite Sarge and I invite Jay Stu because I know how much they're into him and I know how much they like him. But anytime we have a wrestler, especially a female wrestler, Joe, you have a golden ticket.
All right.
You are more than welcome to come up here. As a matter of fact, if it's a female wrestler, I want you in studio on mic because your reaction is like no one else. I've never seen anyone act the way that you did around Lacey Evans.
Oh, I just want people to think I'm like I'm a creep about it.
No,
like,
no, dude, you're like probably the voice of the everyman. There's probably the reason these people are stars is because they take your breath away, and you know, I guess they're probably pretty good at what their job is too. I don't know. I haven't watched wrestling in a while, but I know that obviously she gives you a reaction that I'm sure many people listening would have felt the same way.
When I tweeted that out last night, people were like Lacey or Scarlett, and I'm like, come on, bro. Like I can't answer that question, but I'd probably say Scarlett.
All right, man. Well, once again, you have a golden pass every time these people come in studio.
So just to clarify, you know, we have the lady. Lacey is the lady. Scarlett is the minx. Is that correct? She's a minx. Okay. Write it down.
Good. I will make sure that to write down these definitions now and get them straight. All right. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Well, dude, I heard some of your first podcast.
Thank you.
And I don't know where to hear it.
Yeah.
Slammin' Slew Banger of the Week.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. And in studio with us right now, a gentleman who runs the Just Sitting There Joe Murray podcast, Mr. Joe Murray. Thanks for coming in, my man. I saw you get very excited about a certain wrestler lady last night.
Oh, yes.
I saw that, too.
So I've actually been following this woman for a while now.
Physically.
I'm sure you have. Out her home. I've been following her everywhere.
And listen, I'm not a creep, like, you know. Yeah.
Sarge, you can say it.
I'm not a creep when it comes to the women. It's just that some women stand out. Like, back in the day, Sonny stood out. You know, Sable stood out. You couldn't get away. Sure. Trish Stratus. You couldn't get away from these women.
All
I know
is when the lady was here in studio, there was one of us who was exceptionally creepy out in the hallway. Who was that?
It wasn't me.
I'm well aware.
No, that was you know, Captain Sarge.
It was Captain Sarge.
I mean, Sarge was like the face sucker from the Alien.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
.5, the Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, Town Fair Tire Studio, and
one of the subscription websites that I think is absolutely worth the money would be The Athletic. And one of the main reasons is because they have one of the better writers for the Patriots and the NFL in town, Mr. Jeff Howe, whose ass I will continue to kiss here for the next couple of minutes because I very much enjoy his writing. But The Athletic is where he works, and he is on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good morning, sir. Good morning, Jeff.
Hello. Very kind introduction of you today.
It's just more ass kissing coming your way. But no, it's true. I mean, it's been a, you know, it's in a world of different subscription, you know, websites, this one, you know, you guys actually break news. But the one thing that I was thinking about you this week is this is a weird week when it comes to the NFL, because it seems like all of a sudden old scabs are being opened back up. And some would say that's a good thing. And when you take a look at what happened over the past week with Drew Brees, and then, of course, all the different players coming together and issuing a statement to the NFL saying, we want you to say that you were wrong. And then Roger Goodell coming out, and whether you want to say that he's just reading which way the wind blows and issuing a statement that says, we believe we were wrong when it came to all things protesting, or you want to take him at his word and hopefully think that this is going to change things. You know, that is, you know, that's what you have to decide. But I happen to believe that this was a step in the right direction. But then you've got the president coming out and criticizing Roger Goodell, and we're back at this again. We're all back at this again. How do you think this is all going to shake out once the season starts again, Jeff?
That's a really good question. I think action in the short and long term is going to be the biggest indicator. I mean, there are some really important things happening. There are some really important things that need to continue to happen. And again, that's short and long term. So if people at the ownership level, at high up in the league level, are taking the right steps, I mean, what Kraft is doing, I think, is interesting. And that he's donating a huge chunk of money, but he's also getting input from the players as to where that money should go. So that's a commendable level of action right there. And then I think he's also going to have people from the places where he donates that money. They're going to come in and they're going to speak to the team. So I think continuing to listen is important. So I think if you see that on a grander scale, league wide, again, at the ownership level from different teams, as well as Goodell and people in the front office, I think as long as they keep moving in the right direction with action, with listening, with a lot of things that need to happen, then I think you're going to see everybody be able to come together and then, you know, hopefully lead by example for the rest of the country and the world.
Yeah, more specifically, Jeff, I mean, considering Stephon Gilmore's participation in that video that went out before Roger Goodell's response, you'd have to figure that one, if not many, if not all Patriots will kneel before the anthem each game this season. And to me, because I was reading over the weekend, Bill Belichick has spoken to and listened to his players virtually, it just seems like the Patriots are going to be right in the middle of this thing. You're right. The fall sets up to be fascinating because it looks like Goodell, the players, and the owners are on one side. The president's on the other side.
Yeah, and, you know, that's another thing that's going to really complicate things is, you know, if this isn't about unity and togetherness, and if it becomes politicized to create more division, then there's a lot of frustration here, and almost I would say a lot of it's justified. And I mean, certainly when you're talking about racial equality, I mean, there are a lot of steps that need to continue to happen to make sure that, you know, everyone is treated the way they deserve to be treated. And if the president is going to continue to raise a war against the NFL over the flag and the anthem protests, then, I mean, it's showing that he's not willing to listen to what they are trying to tell him. And you're not making any progress there. And I think he's just politicizing it, which is, it's going to be extremely discouraging. you know, from the player's point of view.
Well, just think, I mean, the Patriots are going to be directly in the target, and here's why, is because if for some reason in game one the players come out and they're to kneel, we obviously know that Robert Kraft is friends with Donald Trump.
And Belichick, for that matter.
And Belichick. I mean, yeah, of course. So you got to think that if the team does that, they are going to be the direct target of either a series of tweets, or they're going to be of his, you know, he's going to say something publicly more than almost any other team if the Patriots do it. And that's why this whole thing, once again, it's so weird how something that's supposed to be about unifying can just all of a sudden cause even like more of a firestorm. And obviously we should be past this, but we're not. But you can see that being a major issue when it comes to the relationships that Robert Kraft has.
Yeah, I mean, those are the circles he runs in. And I think I think he has said in the past that, you know, the friendship, I hope I'm not misinterpreting, or I think it was Kraft. It might have been Brady. I don't know. But he said that, like, you know, the friendships that he's made with people doesn't necessarily align with their political views or strategies, you know, later on in life or whatever. So there's got to be a lot of parts to this. And in terms of the Patriots being in the middle of it, I mean, they're always an easy target for a lot of different things. So they move the needle. So if the president wants to have that, you know, take a shot at that easy target, I mean, the Patriots are always going to be right there. Maybe they come down a peg because, you know, Brady's not there, but you've still got Belichick and Kraft, and you've got an organization that the fan bases of the other 31 teams love to hate. So, yeah, I mean, it's only logical that the Patriots would be in the crosshairs if he wants them to be.
Okay, so on a completely different subject, Mike Giardi this weekend, I heard him talking about how Tom Brady has become what he called the Pied Piper down in Tampa Bay, and has been doing everything, been like over the top, almost proactive, getting these guys together, getting his offense do practices. We've of course seen the pictures that came out the first time that they were able to gather. He's been on Zooms with them and like constant contact, trying to get everyone on the same page. What are you hearing about Jared Stidham and what he's been able to do? I've seen like one or two reports that maybe he's been with Edelman, but what are you hearing that he's been doing to, you know, try to get this new offense together and on the same page as well?
I haven't been able to follow up on that as much. I know he's part of some of these workouts that they're having with the players. I'm not sure if he's the one coordinating them or not, but his presence there is important. If he is coordinating them, all the better, because you need that leadership out of that position. It wouldn't shock me if he were, because, you know, as we've talked about before, I've always heard, you know, great things about his intangibles, the way that he conducts himself off the field, the way that he's able to lead. So if he is doing that, then, you know, that'd be great. But the fact is that he's there, and he's got to try to figure out a way to work up this chemistry with these guys as much as he possibly can, because, you know, when training camp starts, whenever that is, this is his job to go out and win. And, I mean, I think we'd all be shocked if he didn't. And then, you know, you just look at the calendar. Just, you know, today would be the start of the eighth week of the 9-week off-season workout program. So not that, you know, they're doing these things how they normally would be, but that's just a way to, you know, throw a pin in the map and figure out exactly where they are and how far along they should be, or they would have been under normal circumstances, you know, this off season. So getting these guys together is something that, you know, I'd be surprised if there are some teams that aren't doing that stuff, because, you know, you got to get every advantage that you possibly can.
What is there's so many memos that the NFL has come out with as far as people who are allowed back, how many people are allowed back, what they're allowed to do. Where are they now? Belichick's allowed to come back, but can you kind of just,
he hasn't, though. A lot of NFL coaches haven't.
Yeah, can you kind of just tell me where the Patriots are and what they're allowed to do and when they're allowed to do certain other things, according to the millions of memos that have been released?
Yeah, it's dizzying. Friday was the first day that the coaches and I think front office members, but certainly the coaches, were allowed back at team facilities. And it doesn't sound like Belichick and his staff were in a rush to get back to Gillette Stadium, just because logistically, they've set up their home offices to coordinate everything they need to do for the off season and the foreseeable future. So you'd have to break all that down, and you have to get yourself back into Gillette. And I mean, what's realistically the rush to do that if the players can't be there? So right now, I think the players are still in a holding pattern. And I mean, again, with 2 weeks left in the off-season workout program, you've basically lost all possibilities of having a mini camp, even if it were just a 3-day mini camp at this point in the calendar. And then usually looking at around July 24th, give or take a few days, for when actually it would be 15 days before the preseason opener. So whenever the Patriots preseason opener is, 15 days before that would be the start of their training camp.
How worried are you about their condition when this starts? I mean, because we've talked about how, you know, football players need to actually play some football in order to be in the shape, you know, injury wise and all sorts of other factors that go into their health once the season starts. What's the beginning of the season going to look like if things continue this way and they aren't going to have a regular workout, ability to work out before the season starts?
Yeah, I think the biggest concern is the injuries that you mentioned, because for any athlete in any sport, I mean, and I think we're going to see some of this happen in the next month or so with when basketball and hockey start up again, is you just hope that nobody gets into it so quickly that, you know, they go from zero to 100 right away, and then all of a sudden they blow out a knee or you know, pop a muscle, tear a muscle that costs them a couple months or something like that. So, especially with some of the star players, because, again, it's just there are different circumstances. Everybody's body is going to handle this thing different. They're not equipped to really handle these circumstances because, you know, it's never happened before. So you just hope that, you know, injuries are going to happen because they do every summer. You just hope that it doesn't happen on a wider scale and take down some of the quality of the game. I think in terms of when the season starts, you know, if they still get like a full 6-week training camp / preseason before the regular season starts, I think you're going to see the same type of quality just in turn, because, you know, for the last decade now, they haven't been allowed to hit each other during the 9-week off-season workout program. And only 4 of those weeks are when the offense is practicing against the defense, and only for 13 practices if a team wants to use all 13 of them. So it's not like you're going to gain any tackling advantage. You're not learning how to tackle at this point in the calendar is what I'm trying to say. So I don't think that part of it's going to really, you know, fall off or anything like that. But I think, you know, one area that I would look at just in terms, you know, something that maybe you don't see as much is what is the scheme going to look like and how many teams are going to be able to execute the scheme that their coach wants. Because, you know, just using this for reference from coming off of the 2011 lockout, that was when Belichick, you know, Belichick had a handful of years there when he was using a 3-4 defense. Coming off of that lockout, he wasn't able to teach the 3-4, reinstall the 3-4 before the 2011 season started. So that's when he made more of a switch to a 4-3 front, or you saw primary 4-man fronts throughout the start for that entire season. And that actually kind of led into the early part of the, you know, 2010s decade. So I wonder now, I mean, the Patriots are still built to have a lot of 3-4 principles. They've started to make that shift back in this direction about a couple years ago. But is Belichick going to feel like he has the same amount of time to teach that? You know, they're doing it virtually, but can you do it, take it virtually onto the field at this stage? And what is he going to see when the team comes back for training camp? So is he going to have any sort of philosophical shift defensively because, you know, not being able to run something that he wants to run? So I think those are more of the things that you'd have to see more than worrying about, you know, sloppy tackling, because, you know, quite frankly, over the last decade, this is usually 28 to 30 teams in the league have sloppy tackling for, you know, 16 regular season games.
Well, Jeff, as much as I praised your reporting at the beginning of the interview, I do have to say, unfortunately, you are not the one that broke the news of the worst-kept secret in the NFL, and that is that Bill Belichick covets Sam Darnold and wishes he was the quarterback here.
Manish Mehta on fire again.
Dude, Jeff, it was the worst-kept secret, and you didn't let us know?
How did you not see this?
I think I knew exactly what you were getting at as soon as you said that. But the thing that I got a kick out of, because I'm seeing that and I'm like, man, maybe I must be talking to the wrong people down there. But Tom Curran tweeted, he was like, well, I think it's the best kept secret because I've never heard that. And when Tom wrote that, I was like, Oh, all right. Thank I can take a deep breath here because that's certainly nothing I've ever heard either.
I do love Manish, man. Because there's nothing better than the Twitter replies and the comment section from Patriots fans. He knows exactly how to get those clicks. He just pees on the old Patriots anthill and it gets them going. All right. Well, Jeff, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming out with us again.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Right. Yeah, you too. All right. Joe Murray, or actually John Watson.
No, it's Joe. It's Joe.
Okay, Joe, go do the headlines. There we go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Dutcher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriating.
It's Dutcher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's a Chinese researchers have shown how this virus spreads. And I just want to put up for our viewers. This is a restaurant.
Anderson, you are tough.
No, I'm not talking.
We're back to China. This isn't China. Yeah. This is Las Vegas, Nevada.
Wow. Okay, that's really ignorant. This is a restaurant, and the yellow circle.
That's an ignorant statement.
That's a restaurant, and yes, it's in China, but there are human beings too. That yellow is a person who is asymptomatic and infected. And all those other red circles are other diners who that one diner passed the virus to. All those other people became infected in a restaurant that had air conditioning, and they believe it was the air conditioning which helped the virus spread to all those other people.
And you remember the Legionnaires' disease in 1976 in Philadelphia came all through the air conditioning. And so we're aware of this. We learned from history. Right. We've had Ebola. We've had the West Nile. We've had polio. We've had these. Horrific,
none of those were as painful. Infectious in Las Vegas. I mean, you didn't have people with Ebola on a casino floor. You know what? We don't know that. Well, yeah, you do, because if you had
a neighbor of mine died from West Nile.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready.
Mayor of Las Vegas, the one who said that she would let her city be a human control group. And if you saw the videos this weekend, it certainly looks like she's attempting to do that. It is Dutcher and Rich, 7:45. I forget which reporter it was. It was a guy, I think, who was covering the UFC because they had another fight out there. And he just had a video said, Vegas is back. And so this was the weekend that some of the casinos opened back up. I think the MGM Grand, among a couple other ones there. And he just took a video of him walking through one of the casinos. I think it was the Cosmopolitan. And, I mean, it's just slammed. And obviously, like, no one's wearing a mask. And nobody cares. Like, it's don't give an F'sville 2020 over in Las Vegas right now. And I saw that. And, Joe, we were talking about how like the one thing that I know that I fantasize about once this is all kind of done and over with is going and sitting at like a blackjack table. Like, 'cause that to me would be the ultimate sign of normalcy. I'm surrounded by people and I'm gambling and I'm kind of back in a happy spot. And then you see that, Joe, was there part of you that was like, maybe I don't mind getting infected. It's like you see, they're just like, oh my God, this just looks like, you know, how great it would be to one of these people who just can turn their brain off and do that and not realize that this is still a real thing and it's all going. Just for a moment, I almost envied being able to do what they were doing by turning their brain off.
I'll be honest, I actually almost looked up what the flights would be to Vegas, or if I could get to Vegas.
Oh, sure.
But it's
a mind game. You see this and you're just like, whoa, how great would it be just to be like, you know, the guy who just, with the bombs going off all around him, is just smiling and happy and licking a lollipop.
I'm thinking the boss wouldn't be too happy, though, if you went.
No.
If you went to Vegas. And what happens in Vegas now goes home with you instead of staying there.
I'm not the world's smartest person. I think everything I've said on this show kind of proves that. But I, for a moment, wished I was, like, adult. Like, I wanted to be, like, an absolute, like, idiot. Because I'm watching these people, I'm like, it would be so much fun to just be that stupid. Like, I can go to Vegas right now and just run all over, and no one's wearing a mask. And that's the one thing is that, you know, today phase two opens up, which is great. So many of these businesses have been hurting for so long, but it's all predicated on people wearing masks and taking, like, you know, doing the common things that can help you from not getting infected. There is a happy medium in being able to start businesses and do it safely where less people don't get infected. But that was just a gigantic citywide middle finger to all of that. And I saw that video and I just was like, man, I wish I was just that stupid. I wish I had a lobotomy. I want to be able to think that way and feel that way, where nothing around me just have, like, no kind of conscience, no kind of knowledge of what's going to be happening to me or how I'm getting sick or who I could be getting sick. Like, I almost was envious of those people for a moment. And I thought of you, Joe, because I think you're the only one who kind of feels that weird gravity towards normalcy being sitting in a sports book and gambling.
Yeah, my whole thing, though, is, and if you, Arash Makazi, he used to write for ESPN, he's now at the LA Times. If you go to his Twitter page, you can see what Vegas looks like right now. It's not safe. It's not. I'm going to be honest. I'm not one of these people that, don't do this. But, like, there's no masks whatsoever. This is free form. You want to be in Vegas, it's like anything that happens there stays there, hopefully. But, like, this isn't – I wouldn't do this right now. This isn't safe for me. You could give me a whole free trip or whatever. I'm not going into that atmosphere right now.
But there was part of you, though, that was just like, damn, I wish I was as dumb as these people.
What's it going to take? Hold on. Let's stop here for a second. What's it going to take for either one of you to get on a plane and go to Vegas?
Well, now, okay, so here's the deal is that now I can't. Because it's one of those things where if I saw that video and everyone was wearing masks, like, that's different to me. Like, there were pictures that came out from the opening of Foxwoods over the weekend, and I think they opened almost a week ago, I believe. Because they did, because I remember we were talking here on the show last week about how they had put up those glass dividers, you know, between the three seats now instead of the five or six that they have at a blackjack table. And I saw that, you know, the dealer was, like, wearing gloves, and there was hand sanitizer at the station, there were the glass things, and part of me was just like, you know, that's something that maybe I could convince myself, you know, further down the road to, you know, be all right doing. And then I saw Vegas, and I'm like, dude, I can't go to Vegas.
Okay,
to me, it felt like the Ozark pool video. I'm like, dude, I can't do that.
You're also a special case.
Don't even take that into account to it.
Okay,
I'm talking as a normal human being. Like, when you saw the pool of everyone in the Ozarks, you're like, oh my god. I mean, this is just like what are we doing? And Vegas was that same feeling, but I was just so envious of just being that dumb. I just kind of wish sometimes I could turn my brain off and be dumb and not care.
But what is it going to take specifically for either one of you guys to go back to Las Vegas?
To go to Vegas without a mask and to just go,
whether it be a mask or without a mask, to actually tempt you to spend money to get on a plane and fly and stay at one of these hotels.
It's going to have to take some sort of treatment. Unfortunately, for me, it's going to. Now, listen,
2021 for me.
Yeah, okay. like it's going to take, like, some sort of treatment, whether it be a vaccine or it be a treatment for it. Like, that's something that I to get on a plane and to go to a place where that's, like, jam packed like that. Yeah. Now it's different. Now there's different levels. Like, I would feel probably later on comfortable going to, you know, some, like, going to, I don't know, Canada or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, there's different levels. But going to Vegas, which is essentially just like you're going to, like, a mosh pit full of people who are all living bad lifestyles anyway, which is usually really, it's really fun. But no, something like that. And that's about as extreme an end as you can go to. Vegas is probably the extreme end of where, like, when I'm in Vegas and I'm sitting at a blackjack table and I'm surrounded by a bunch of people with no masks, that's when I feel 100% comfortable. You agree, right? I can't think of a scenario that you would throw yourself into that's kind of more insane and more of a petri dish for what's going on than Las Vegas.
Yeah, this video, though, is scary. This is too quick. This is too quick. Listen, if it was controlled and, hey, we'll let 10 people in at a time order. I still went to Home Depot and other places this weekend.
Oh, God.
It's still controlled, you know?
I have a Home Depot right near where I live. The lot was completely full. There's not a space to be had anywhere at 2 in the afternoon on a Sunday.
Yeah, and you can do it right. You could do it right. You could. It's weird. If you read just how much wearing a mask helps,
It's like something crazy. There's like an 80% less chance of you getting anything or you giving it to somebody if you wear a mask. And if the person that you're like you're talking to has a mask as well, that turns it into like it's a 90% less chance of that happening. So, and we were talking about this before, John, and that's the reason why these businesses are all able to open up today is because they're all predicated on wearing a mask.
Yes.
And I kept thinking about how ridiculously tough it's going to be for the servers today as they get out there and they open up there and the restaurant owners, because not only do you have to, especially if your place that didn't have outside dining, you have to find a way to transfer everything outside, but you've got issues like, what if it rains? You can't run inside. Like, all the people eating there can't just run inside. Like, you're effed. If it rains, the people who are eating there, they're effed. You've got people who are, you know, the servers all have to wear their masks. And they, in many cases, as I was talking about before, they have to, like, there's certain parts of town where there's a little patch of grass in the middle of, like, a town square that they have to cross a street in order to get to where the outdoor seating has been designated. So if you don't tip these people really well, like, I mean, I'm talking, this isn't just like a you know, like an 18 plus, like, you got to tip them really well from what they're having to go through, especially seeing that they've been out of work for a while.
Yeah.
Then you, at this point, you're a jerk.
Couldn't agree more.
Don't tip them extreme, and if you're not patient with them, they're all out of their comfort zone. They're all doing stuff that they haven't had to do before in the past. Everyone's wearing a mask. Everyone's dealing with your dishes, which they got to clean and make sure they don't, there's a million things that make it so they are so outside of the norm of what they need to be doing that you got to tip them well. So,
time limits at tables.
Oh, yeah, you bet. Do not sit there and like have yourself like one of these like 3 hour. You get in, you get out. These people, I mean, there's going to be limited space anyway on these patios. Most people are making makeshift patios anyway. So if you monopolize a table for like 2 times the amount of time that a normal people would because you're just sitting there jacking around, then you're an idiot. Then you're also a complete a-hole and you're oblivious to what's around you. Get these people some money. Go support them and tip them well, because this is not going to be easy for a lot of these people right now. And if you're one of these business owners, I'd love to hear from you, or one of these service, because I've only seen a couple of the precautions that you have to go through, but I started reading it and it's insane the amount of steps that the government is making them go through.
But they don't have a choice.
They don't have a choice. 617-779-0985. If you're one of these business owners that's opening up, I would like to hear some of the like restrictions and things that they've put on you guys and just how tough it is to jump back out and do this. And it's awesome that you are, and I encourage people to patronize these things and tip well. But man, this is the last time for you to be an a-hole. Like, if your food gets there a little bit later, if it takes a little bit longer, I mean, this is the last time for you to be – then don't even go out. Then do everyone a favor and just stay home, because right now all of these businesses have been going through hell, and this is their first shot at trying to, you know, get the money back that they've lost, or at least try to stay afloat. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.